It was 2 years ago today that an earthquake and tsunami sparked a meltdown at Japan's Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. Hundreds of thousands of people living around the plant were forced to flee the radioactivity. The World Health Organization recently predicted a very small rise in cancer risk for those who were nearest the plant. Some experts are talking about a different risk. Predicting anxiety and depression among nuclear refugees could be more dangerous than the exposure to radiation. Reporter Jeff Brumfield traveled to Fukushima to talk to people there about coping.
Kenichi Togawa was taking a smoke break from his job at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant when the ground started to shake.
We ran out of the smoking room. The inside of the building was heavily damaged. Desks and shelves had fallen over. Papers were scattered everywhere. The ceiling had collapsed. We couldn't get out easily.
After checking to see his coworkers were safe, he tried to get home to his family, but the traffic was too heavy.
My car was not moving at all, so I gave up. I left it in the parking lot of a hospital about 1 mile from the power plant, and I went on foot. I set my sights on home. As I went, the road had collapsed, so I was climbing and jumping over things.
When he finally got there, he found his wife and kids were safe.
I was really relieved. I wanted to get home quickly, but I had been afraid of seeing the house. What if it was flattened or someone had died?
But that was just the start of the Togawa's troubles. Early the next morning, evacuation sirens blared across their seaside town. Kenichi went back, got his car, and the family fled. As they drove, he got a text from a colleague in Tokyo.
Traffic had stopped in front of the school, and then I got a message that said the plant had exploded. I was surprised. But then I realized there was no choice. We had to keep going forward. We couldn't go back.
Today, the Togawas live 30 miles away in one of about half a dozen slate-gray temporary buildings. They're lined up like boxcars, and they all look identical.
Sorry, I didn't know which one you were in.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Inside one apartment lives Kenichi, his wife, and three children. The youngest daughter, Kai, gives me the grand tour. It doesn't take long. Three rooms, totaling around 300 square feet in all. Kai, her brother, and sister sleep together in one tiny room, while mom and dad sleep in the other. That leaves just one room for everything else, which is mainly video games. But it's not the kids playing this fantasy game. It's their father, Kenichi. Before the accident, Kenichi was athletic. He rode his bike and practiced judo. But today, things are different.
My environment has changed. My judo group is finished. My bike is back at my flat. My friends are all scattered around. So video games are something I can do at home without moving much. I used to spend more time with people. I was more active, but not anymore.
Kenichi is isolated in the evacuation housing. Every night, while he plays his video game, he drinks 4 glasses of shochu, a strong Japanese liquor, and he's put on weight, almost 20 pounds since the family got here. Other evacuees are doing worse. Hiromi Yamamoto is an English teacher from the same town as the Togawas. After the accident, she relocated to a city south of the nuclear plant. Hiromi says that many evacuees here are out of work.
They have nothing to do. So they always go to pachinko place, gambling, and pay for a lot of money, and driving, and sometimes drinking alcohol.
One of her own friends has slipped deep into depression.
Before big earthquake, they lived a big house, big families. Maybe grandmothers, maybe great-grandmothers, maybe friends around here. But now she lived just alone in the big city. Nobody talked to her. I sometimes call her. I said, are you okay? So are you right? She's sometimes crying. But I said, it's okay. It's okay. So I said.
Yuriko Suzuki is with Japan's National Institute of Mental Health and has been working with Fukushima evacuees.
We have a lot of story that people are distressed.
Several months after the accident, she and her colleagues conducted a survey with some alarming results. 1 in 5 scored high on a PTSD checklist. That rate is the same as for workers at the site of the 2001 World Trade Center attacks. Many evacuees are continuing to show signs of anxiety and depression.
It's about uncertainty about their life or if they can come back to hometown And also, they cannot have plan how to they live their life in the future.
And then there's the radiation. Kenichi Tagawa's wife, Yuka, has learned a lot about radiation exposure in the past 2 years. Her kids are part of a government health survey. They wear radiation badges everywhere they go now, and they travel to Fukushima City every few months for blood tests and thyroid screenings.
So far, they're okay. But maybe in a few years later, they might have some problems in their health. So it might be tomorrow, maybe never happens, or maybe in a few years' time.
Yuka is really worried about her kids' health. Experts are trying to reassure Fukushima evacuees, and a recent report by the World Health Organization suggests only a small rise in cancer risk for those living nearest the plant. But the insidious thing about radiation is that it sows seeds of doubt in a parent's mind. That doubt can last for years. Studies of mothers after Chernobyl found that psychological problems have lingered for nearly 2 decades. Jerry Thomas, a radiation health expert at Imperial College in London, believes that anxiety, depression, and substance abuse may be Fukushima's greatest legacy.
I think the psychological health problems that will ensue from Fukushima will be far worse than any physical problems that have come from the direct interaction of tissues with radiation.
Psychiatrists in Japan are aware of these problems, and they want to help, but they're not sure how. They can't afford one-on-one therapy for all 210,000 people affected. Mental health expert Yuriko Suzuki says there's no proven therapy for victims of a disaster on this scale. But she says evidence from other disasters shows that overcoming social isolation is key.
So I think some effort to try to get people together or have more sense that they are connected, I think that would be one way to intervene.
Efforts are now underway to reach out to the worst affected evacuees by phone and to set up mental health clinics throughout Fukushima. Life is also slowly getting better for the Tagawas. Their kids like their new school, Kenichi has found a job with the local government, and Yuka is working part-time as a nurse. But Kenichi Tagawa still doesn't like to talk about the accident or the future.
When I think about today, I can stay happy. But when I think about tomorrow or the future, I feel like I'm stuck in a pitch-black box. So I try not to think about it, because it's too depressing to think about.
And Kenichi is still sitting at home playing video games. Jeff Brumfield, NPR News.
This is NPR News.